Well, it's good to be in Lord's house today.
Amen.
Hope all of you had a good Sunday afternoon. I know we did.
Yeah.
Been looking forward to hearing these answers.
Amen.
Like I said, I always learn from all of you. I appreciate that. You know, there's a lot to be learned. And like I said, I purposely haven't looked back into this from notes I've had from years past because I just wanted to really be refreshed on what y'all have to say. I appreciate you taking time to study these things out and to learn them for yourself. You know, a lot of times growing up, I heard a lot of things in church and you were told a lot of things was wrong and what was right, but you didn't have the foundation of why that was. And, you know, I can preach it to you, and eventually in the messages, I might get around to preaching on that subject, or a message might have a text, might address it, but if you just hear that, you know, one time, you might hear it, if you like me, I can't remember what I preached 2 weeks ago. I mean, I move on, I study new things, and,
yeah.
You know, God's got something fresh for me that I like, but the Word of God is alive, amen? And it's working. And it's always constantly giving me new thoughts and things, and you know, it doesn't change.
Hey.
But God uses it to speak to me in different ways, so I forget things. But whenever I learn something for myself and I hide it in my own heart, God shows me something in my studies, I don't forget that. And so I hope, that's my prayer for all of you, that you don't forget these things that you've studied for yourself. And it's a help and a benefit to you. And I appreciate you all participating. Let's see, we'll get started with our Bible studies. What we do, we'll open with a prayer. And just be sure to pray for revival. I'm looking forward to revival. We'll pray for the men that's going to become preaching. And I'm looking forward to that. That Pastor Adam Vines, I've never heard of him in person. Lord, actually, I met him and talked to him. The Lord really is nudging my heart to get him to come. You know, I feel like, you know, you ought to do due diligence. So I had to hear him preach. I didn't know. But luckily, their sermons are on YouTube. So I was able to find him online. So I listened to several of his messages. And I was going on there just to sort of check up. But after I got to listening, I just kept listening. I really enjoyed it. And I listened to quite a few messages. Preached over at church. I said, well, Lord, I guess you do know what you're talking about after all.
Yeah.
We do that sometimes, don't we?
Yeah.
But in any case, I don't think there's anything wrong either with doing due diligence, making sure that you're following God, not just something that's some kind of wind of the flesh. So in any case, we're looking forward to hearing him. And y'all know Preacher Doug Woody. And there ain't no question about that. We know he can preach.
Yeah.
But, you know, the question comes in part to us, can we take it?
Yeah.
So be praying for ourselves as well, that we receive the Word of God.
Hey.
All right. Be praying about for a nation. Be praying for the school year. Like we was talking about this morning, like Richard Matthew mentioned, there's a lot of, on top of what wickedness is brought into the public education, there seems to be more.
Yeah.
That saddens my heart. But just keep praying. I'll share something with y'all. Back about 9 years ago, I told a friend of mine, he's passed away since then. So I told a friend of mine, I said, I'm praying that God put the Ten Commandments in every classroom in school. And he said, that'll never happen. And I said, I believe if I pray about it, I believe God can. He said, we can, but it ain't gonna happen. He said, this world ain't gonna do nothing but grace and mercy. He said, that ain't going to happen. But I kept praying. And eventually, I quit praying about that. But you know what? Even though I gave up, God still remembered them prayers.
Yeah.
And this wasn't North Carolina.
Right.
But what state was Alabama or Louisiana? Louisiana.
Yeah.
They, here a while back, they actually did. They put the Ten Commandments back in the classroom.
Yep. Amen.
And I seen that. And, I'm sure that there were so many people in Louisiana that were probably praying for that.
Yeah.
But God reminded me, he said, see, I do answer prayer.
Yeah.
And so I'm praying that again.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm praying for more.
Yeah.
I had a low expectation before. God's bigger than that.
Yeah.
I'm praying now that in our state, North Carolina, this is my prayer, is that it would be one of the primary subjects in class.
Amen.
That public education would become a good, not a bad and doctrinal type of, you know, way that they made the molten calf.
Yeah.
Made of God, their own image. I'm talking about their work, talking about learning about the God, learning about the Bible, the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm praying that we reach all the schools. That's what I'm praying. You say, well, preacher, that never happened. Now I'm telling you, God's big enough.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's my prayer. So go ahead and pray for that.
Amen.
All right. Let's pray. Brother Matt McAfee, would you pray with us? Sing.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Scott. Let's do 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Peter 2, 1. Very good. Let's do Daniel chapter 3, verse 25.
Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves and the children of strangers.
Very good. Is he over 40? Let's do Psalm 47, verse 7. Very good. Very good. Amen. All right. All right. Now we're going to do over 60. All right. Over 60. Let's do 1 Samuel, chapter number 24, and verse number 11.
Jesus' father. And son is, and we find that son is not capitalized in the RSV. And in Luke 2:33, in the KJV it says, and Joseph, well, it said, it's talking about when God said to Simeon that he could not die until he saw the Lord Jesus, and he met Jesus in the temple, and then he talked about Jesus. And then it says, Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken of him. And in the RSV it says, his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Joseph is not Jesus' father, so that is not right. Many other versions call Joseph Jesus' father.
Very good.
So I have, God will preserve his words, his word. Psalms 112:6-7. Whatsoever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. And I have Revelation 22:18-19. Says this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. The Standard Version changes the word virgin to young woman, which takes away the significance of the virgin birth of Jesus.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
So I say, I chose to look at the history of conversions other virgins came from. Pretty much down in Egypt, there's a group called the Alexandrians, and they were basically a cult that claimed to be Christian, but they were not. And they made their own version of the Bible. They got that verse they didn't like, and they changed a couple of things. And there were two copies made, like, that were found called the Catechus and Bad Catechus. And these copies were turned to the Latin Vulgate, and the Catholic Church translated it into English. They translated it out of a full-on manuscript. And some of these guys from, I think, Scotland, really quickly, found these Alexandrian Bible, and they said, since it's all prophetic, and it's not true. So they made a Greek version from the ancient Bible, the English. Pretty much some of these, bunch of English translations from the Alexandrian, the Westcott, the Vortex, including the Revised Version in 1886, and then the Standard Version, the Revised Standard, the World Translation, which is the Women's Bible. The American Standard, the News Bible, the Amplified Bible, the Living Bible, and the NIV. All these were translated from the wrong manuscript. And actually, it's an interesting fact, because they say all the better ones. I mean, the oldest known scroll of the Isaiah scrolls, 1,000 years old, is any wrong manuscript. Matches exactly the Textus Receptus, which is where the KJV is translated from.
Right.
My thing, I said, as compared to the KJV and the NIV in one verse, Matthew 19:17, where it's in the KJV, it says, there is none that is good, no, not one, except for God. But the NIV, it says, there is only one that is good. It does not mean that one is good.
Amen.
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 Plus, the writers of the NIV are both gays. In fact, for one of them received the Lesbian Gay Award in 1992.
How about that? The KJV was a misaccurate version, and it was all the only ones all the time, and the first time I had second in the 3 seasons.
Very good. So out of this reason, the Bible teaches against slothfulness in a lot of ways. It teaches that working for something is inherently holy and better than taking the easy way. Take Proverbs 19:15, for example, where it says, slothfulness casts us down into a deep sleep, and without a soul shall suffer. So that may become the conclusion of this. Even though the language is outdated and often difficult to understand, it means that in the long run we can find better understanding and learning and studying the scripture. We don't understand in comparison. In comparison, if you use another translation, we'll essentially be handed the answers or take time to study and leading to a worse understanding of the book in the long run, just because you haven't had that time to actually study the word. Even from the beginning, God told humans that they'd spend their days tilling the ground and working. So he intends for us to be productive and having integrity through our works. And here's a quote from Billy Graham's sermon that I used partially as this answer for the evil. He said, the devil's overriding goal is to block God's work. Part of that work is to read, study, and obey his instructions to us. He tells us how to live, how not to live, in the pages of scripture. Becoming a Christian is a work of God. Being a Christian is a work of lifetime. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The important thing is to read the Bible and pray that God's Spirit will be understood. And also, Revelation 22. That's my answer. Amen. Very good. Very good. I hadn't even thought of that. That's very good. That's what I'm saying.
true, so I have 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Amen. Very good.
So, the Bible says that God will preserve His word. Some say that He didn't preserve His word, so we have to come up with something that is His word. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." If He expects us to live by the word of God, then how would we do that if He doesn't preserve it?
Right.
What's their explanation for why there are differences? In a minority of cases, they'll claim, oh, well, it was just copyist errors. They just made a mistake copying it down. No intent whatsoever. Well, in most of the cases, if you look at the differences, that doesn't make sense. There may be a few where you can kind of explain it that way. But in most of the cases, it's completely coherent. It's complete thoughts, complete sentences, just with different contents. And in that case, you can't explain that as a copyist error. So in most cases, what their reason is, well, that's it. Just these people were so zealous for God, and they thought these concepts needed to just be brought up a notch, and, you know, we're going to make it a stronger statement. And for the child of God, that reasoning doesn't make sense. But somebody that's a Christian, we understand that if anybody loves God, the only way we can love God is Him first loving us, and He saves us, and then He puts His Holy Spirit in us. So if we truly love God, we are going to have a reverence for His Word that is going to prevent us from ever doing anything like that.
Right.
It makes way more sense from the perspective of a believer to say, okay, well, which is going to happen? Is somebody that loves God going to add to the Bible? Or is somebody that don't love God going to take away from the Bible, whether in the form of omitting entire verses or words, or in the form of watering down the concepts that are there. But there is a context in which this idea that zealots would add to the Word of God makes sense. And that's if it was coming from an unbeliever.
Right.
That excuse would make complete sense to an unbeliever because they're saying, well, I don't believe any of this anyway. It's all made up.
Yeah.
And they just want me, more people to believe in their made up God. So when these ones that are in these places of authority who should know better, and that's what we need to focus on, right? And I know the pastors mentioned this. You got people who have come out of seminary who were just, hey, the people who were above them told them something and they believed it because those people were in a position of authority.
Right.
And then now they're repeating what they were told. But I'm talking about the people at the top, the people that know. When they use that reasoning, that makes me go, hmm. I mean, that sounds like a reason a lost man would give.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, it's obviously we're not their judge. But really the bottom line being there's a reason. Nothing happens without a reason. So when we look at the differences with these things, we have to decide what we believe about the reasons for those differences being there. And I think that will lead us to the conclusion about which side we need to go to.
Right. Amen.
I'm going to touch a little different. I'm going to go on the way people attack the King James and how the two things that come to my mind and how we can defend it, because there is a defense for it. One of them is, and I don't know if y'all have heard this, but in looking it up, people have claimed that the King James Version is just pretty much a plagiarism of the Geneva Bible. And if you hadn't heard that, you can look it up. It's very similar. The Geneva Bible was the one that was used for like 100 or so years before the King James was translated. And it was, there's a history behind it. It started off with like William Tyndale and all these people, and it went through a couple of different stages, but they went back to the original languages. People like to quote Wycliffe as the first translator into English, and in a way he was, but he didn't go back to the Hebrew and Greek because he didn't know Hebrew and Greek. He only knew Latin, so he translated from the Latin Vulgate. Better than nothing, but not great. And that's why William Tyndale went back to the original languages, and he didn't get it all done, and there's a whole big stuff about how it got to the Geneva Bible. But the reason that the Geneva Bible was dropped for the King James, one of the main reasons, is it had a lot of footnotes, a lot of side notes, stuff like that. And with it being done in Geneva, it's very highly Calvinistic. So a lot of those notes were leaning towards Calvin's views, which are not entirely biblical. And so they left a lot of that out in the King James. And it's not plagiarism. Yeah, they left all the notes out. And it's not plagiarism because in the original King James translation, and in your Bibles, we'll see that there's a note to King James. Or to the reader, I mean. Was it King James?
Yeah.
No, there's two notes in the original translation.
One's long.
One is really long, and it's left out of most of our copies. But you can find it. It's a note to the reader from the translators, where they talk about the fact that they did base it on a lot of Tyndale in the original languages in the Geneva, so they're not plagiarizing it. It's only plagiarism if you don't give credit to it. So, that's kind of how it goes. And so that's one argument people say, well, the King James is just plagiarizing this. And I'm like, well, it's not. They never claimed to. We just don't have that note in our Bibles because people have left it out. It's not Bible, it's a note. And then another thing that I hear argued, I'll talk about all the time, is I can't understand it. And that gets me because I'm like, what do you think it is? It's not a novel. It's like a textbook. When you can't understand a textbook, do you just give up? You don't. You were in a kind of, there's somebody that Clint mentioned that it takes work, because it does. But the thing is people want to change it and modernize the language because the English language changes. But if you did that, every time the language changed, I mean, we would have to have a new version every 5 years. The King James Version, the words that they use, they chose these words specifically because they have lasting meaning. And so, yeah, no, offended doesn't mean the same thing in the King James as it does for us. But if you look it up, and there are resources for that, then you can study it and you can know, and you don't have to worry about, well, what does this word mean nowadays versus what did it mean then?
Yeah.
Which is the modern versions that have that problem. And that just causes a lot of confusion. So that's another reason why the King James is the best, because it's just, it's clear it doesn't change. Whereas all these other versions have changed over the years.
Well,
some
of the history has already been written mentioned some of the Bible verses, but I didn't want to read a quote from the Westcott Report, which was created in, they was the reader of God when they got their stuff.
Yeah, they got it from God.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Just go ahead and read it.
To the whole thing?
Yeah, I've already read this. Go ahead and read it. You framed it in such a way as complimentary to what's already been said.
The KJV is the most accurate translation. It uses the most accurate word choice in the original language. King James hired several teams of Bible scholars to seek multiple languages and manuscripts so that the word reflects the exact meaning of the original text. KJV Bible uses the Textus Receptus, which is Greek New Testament, published in Latin by the Dutch scholar Erasmus. Many modern translations use the New Testament in the original Greek, which was created in 1881 by Westcott Court, two scholars who treated the Bible as any other book and prioritized older, heavily edited manuscripts over accurate manuscripts, leaving out words from the Holy Spirit. One of their quotes from, it was Westcott's quote from the Life and Letters of Brooke. He says, I never read of the account of a miracle, but I seem instinctively to feel its improbability and discover some want of evidence in the account of it. I reject the word infallibility of Holy Scriptures overwhelmingly. And then he later states, they stated and believed the traditional text, the Textus Receptus, was an artificial and arbitrarily invented text fabricated. And they believe that Westcott Court asserted it remained lost until the 19th century. And so then I've said that God's Word is inspired by Him. 2 Peter 1:20-21, knowing this verse that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy 3:16 has already been mentioned. And then John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And also how He's preserved His Word from past and to future generations. I have 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then verse 25, that the word of the Lord endureth forever. And Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And then I have Psalms 100:5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And then Psalms 12:6-7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And there was a whole bunch of verses about God preserves his word, but that was just some.
We need the KJV to be the English translation most accurate for us, as the original Greek and Hebrew manuscripts found in the text. It's believed to have been used also by Jesus and the apostles, what they taught and preached, and it accurately conveys the meaning of God's Word, and it's God's Word preserved for us in English. And I have John 17:17-19. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true, as thou hast sent me into the world, even as I have. Even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now the rest of my verses are all even in you. But I'd like to say the children bless me.
Amen.
Amen.
Everybody's a blessing.
Amen.
Psalm 16:11 says, "The Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it." We as Christians need to read His word and not man's word. Newer versions, because they are newer, are going to leave words out or change words which cannot be as good. For example, some verses differ from NKJV and KJV in which Jesus Christ, like John 8:35. Bear with me. KJV reads, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever." And the son is capitalized. In the NKJV, it reads, "And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever." And the son is not capitalized. Another example is Matthew 8:19. The KJV Bible says, in the KJV Bible, Jesus is called Master. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, "Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." In the NKJV verse 8, "Then a certain scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus is referred to as a teacher. Master is a whole bigger, greater word than teacher. Another example is Luke 13:8. In the KJV Bible, Jesus is called Lord, which is another powerful word to call him instead of Jesus. And he answering said unto him, "Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall be about it and done it." In the NKJV Bible, Jesus is referred to as Sir. The NKJV Bible says, "But he answered and said to him, Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it." Jesus deserves to be called more than a Sir. Sir is what we address man on this earth.
I already had a couple verses and stuff that I had. people put together a book, and it is similar to another book, that copyright laws. So to avoid copyright laws, it has to be changed enough that it's not like the original. So when they go to make a book like the NKJV and some of these newer things, they have to go in and they have to purposefully change the wording. They have to change it from either it was Hebrew, then they have to change the lettering or wording to Latin. They have to use different numbers that have to be in so many places that it has to be actually, they have a grading system or whatever where they actually grade it. It's what grade level it's on. So they actually come up with what the King James Version being graded on like a fifth grade reading letter. All the other versions after that have to be greater than the fifth grade level for it to receive a new copy. And I was going to read the Revelations 22.
I also think that the copyright laws are not
somebody just tell me about that. I mean, you could.
Misinterpreted as against homosexuality.
So the KJV Bible was translated from the original text, but revised from something else. It's the most accurate translation that we have for those texts. And I would say that I compare the KJV and the NIV because the NIV is the version to read as a Bible. And it's easier to read and more readable, but I found one website that said it omits around 64,000 words and that 36,000 changes were made concerning what was talked about on the site. And the NIV also completely removed some of the verses from the KJV Bible. One verse I will read from the Bible is Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. And this is also in threat. So Jesus directly made this statement, but it's one of the ones that is left out of the NIV. So how can that simply be omitted from the book? And I also had Revelation 22:19. And this is the verse that specifically shows what will happen to those people who choose to change or omit things out of the book.
So the website that I looked at had made a few points on why the KJV is the most accurate, but I only talk about one, and of course Stephanie already talked about it, but that's okay, I'll talk about it again. The website said King James I of England requested the assistance of more than 40 Bible scholars and translators when he began his authorized Bible project. He split the theologians into six separate committees that focused on significant portions of the Bible. The King James Bible is famous for using the Textus Receptus, which is the Greek New Testament published in Latin by the Dutch scholar Erasmus, as a base. So we can trust that the KJV is the most accurate because it was made with accurate sources of research.
Right.
My two favorite verses for this talk is Malachi 3:6. It says, "For I am the Lord, I change not.
Yeah.
Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed."
Yeah.
And I also have 2 Peter 3:16. As also in all his epistles, speaking unto them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, that word rest means to twist, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction.
The best evidence that I have that this King James is the true word of God is that it goes against my fleshly desires. These other versions are created to support an individual's or a group's fleshly desires. God is righteous and God is holy.
Right.
And does not tolerate sin. The best evidence or the best idea that I can come up with that someone would want to change or create another version is that they're just simply not saved.
Right.
Because when you're saved, it's not my will, it's not my righteousness. It's God's righteousness.
Amen.
It's no longer about me. I think it's Mark Twain said, in order to truly understand the book, you must study to know the word of the author. And that's what I believe. I believe that people would simply change the word of God to create another version just simply because they're not saved.
Yeah.
Claiming that they need something that they understand.
Right.
Which if they seek God, that understanding, I believe, would come to.
Yeah. Yep. I like y'all hear me say a lot. A lot of people worship God, it's not the God of the Bible.
Yeah.
They worship the God of their own creation.
Yeah.
Well, when they figure out and challenge the fact that they're not worshiping the God of the Bible, what do? They change the Bible.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I've sat in preaching for a long, long time. That was my strategy here. And it's always been in the King James Version.
Amen.
But I've also listened to some preachers on the radio, watched me on TV. I've never seen or I've never heard tell of anybody getting saved. And that can, that do the other versions. And I have never seen or have heard of any praising in those other versions. I've never heard anybody shouting in those other versions. But yet, back in the old days, people really run the aisles and shouted. My grandma Leo, my uncles, Candy's grandma, and the rector. I mean, you really hear them people shouting. You hear them tear the walls down. And it was up there one night under the King James Version. The Lord moved in. And this was during revival one night. And I talked to Billy about this. And Billy says, "Hey, remember, sure you may remember, when Edith McCurry got the Christian flag, they started marching around the whole church. Do you remember that? And the whole church started following, didn't you? That's been a long time back. But that was under that King James Version. People worshiped, people prayed, and people got saved. You don't hear that. Hear tell them in this new version and stuff like that. Or I don't know, maybe y'all did, but I haven't.
Yeah.
I just, most of what everybody said I've read and heard, and just to reiterate, how many times do you find more than 40 men of opposition coming together and agreeing on one thing? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's not typical, especially when they were worldly-minded people as well as biblical scholars who finally agreed on the King James Version of the Bible. That's not a typical thing. So who inspired that? It had to be God. Our Bible has to be the inspired word of God. Which one is that? It appears to me that the King James Version is the most accurate inspired word of God. And when Wes Cotton, whomever he was, said that they couldn't believe, this is not a quote, but that they didn't believe it was inspired, that kind of put their thoughts to the side for me and proved that they weren't where they ought to be when they were trying to figure out a translation. But for 54 people to be appointed and 47 of them actually worked on the Bible, but that's who's listed anyway, there might have been more, and then they agreed on it, that kind of proves that somebody higher than human beings had something to do with it, and it had to be God.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I might be going a little bit of a different route, but I just find it interesting that everyone lines up to discredit the King James Version. no desire to bind his own kingdom.
Right.
And I was looking at Matthew 12:26, and if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? So, I mean, his desire is just to discredit the word of God.
Right.
Not himself. So he attacks only one thing, God's word. I mean, you know, that's the route I would most of you.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Now, the same way that nobody is fighting to discredit Islam or Buddhism,
right,
or Hinduism.
Or Easter Bunny.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But they, you know, matter of fact, it's almost sacrilegious in America to, you know, tell a child that Easter isn't about the Easter Bunny, or that Christmas isn't about Santa Claus.
Amen. Yeah.
You know? But, you know, why is it, what's in their attack? It's Christianity. Because they're all sick, you know, Savior and Father.
Hey. I didn't look up no scripture, but I want to give a testimony.
Amen.
On God's word, I was brought up on the King James, and whenever by Jesus Christ God forgave me my sins, it was still King James, and it is still the day until the day I die. But God is not a God of confusion.
Right.
His word will stand forever, and He don't need all these other versions of the book.
Right.
His word is the only one. And I believe that the Holy Word was inspired by the holy men, as the scripture teaches us, to pen it down. And then when it was translated over to English to us, I believe that God inspired that for the men to put this King James part out for our learning.
Yeah.
Everything he done is for our learning. And I believe that this word is going to stand, King James will be at the end. Some of these other versions may not be, but I believe that King James will.
Amen.
And I believe that's the Bible. And I wanted to say this, that whenever I read the Bible, I can read it with understanding. I don't know all the words because I'm going to learn a lot when I'm reading. But God helps me through that whenever I don't own a book, there's no other book than the King James. But I read scripture from cards or Christian magazines or stuff like that, and it's not King James. I get convicted when I quit reading. I cannot read the other versions of God's Word. And so I've said all this to say this. The King James Bible is a book for me.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'll start out in 1 Corinthians 14:33. It says God is not the author of confusion. In Genesis and chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, is where Satan deceived Eve by changing God's word. He went in and he told him, just added a word, just put not in there.
Yeah.
Right? And so God is true, and Satan is the father of lies. We have the same God today that Adam and Eve had. We also have the same devil. Satan is still using the same methods today, lying and deceiving, changing God's word. KJV is complete. Almost, if not all other versions, omit verses and change words, not just the these and the that, like some people say.
Yeah.
Many people say that, but they'll send their kids to whatever, $100,000 a year school to study Shakespeare.
Yeah.
I ain't seen nobody come out with a new improved version of Shakespeare.
Yeah.
But
amen.
Well, which one's harder to understand?
Right.
Shakespeare. So if you can value Shakespeare's written word, why can't you value God?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And then all these other versions leave that important doctrinal verses. It ain't just some odd and end thing somewhere. In Acts 8:37 is where Paul was the Philippian jailer, ain't it? Is it the Philippian jailer he's with, and he's telling him how to be baptized, and he tells him first must believe. He ought with his whole heart and confess with his mouth, and then he made it. And a lot of his other versions just leave all that out.
Yeah.
And you can't leave that out. That's, I mean, baptism does nothing without the conversion of the heart.
Yeah.
Right? And so, anyway, that's where I was headed with that. And while everybody's talking, I remember in Bible school we talked about the whole armor of God and the shield of faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's word. So if he can destroy God's word, or water it down or weaken it, he's weakening your shield, your defense. He's seeking to get those fiery darts in and cause doubts and induce strivings among men and cause conflict in the church and trying to cause confusion for our deacons. It just goes right on what Sherry's saying. They ain't attacking everything else.
Yeah.
It seems like all the guns are pointing in one direction and you start wondering.
Right. You
don't have to wonder, you can know.
Amen. Amen.
So I just have one verse. It's in Malachi 3. It's Malachi 1, chapter, Malachi 1, verse 3. It says, "And I hated Esau, the latest mountain's inheritance, waits for the dreamers of the wilderness." The ESV says, "But Esau I hated, I have laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert." One thing that this verse is like, kind of a reference. I don't know why they would change it to jackals of the desert, but it seems like an odd change because it's clear, because there's a big difference between dragons and jackals. Obviously, it was referring to dinosaurs at that time, more than likely. I don't know why they would switch it to jackals. It would make no sense.
Amen.
I just like to thank the Lord for being here. I've heard a lot in my lifetime, but you know, when I think of God's Word, I think of it being a living Word.
Yeah.
It is the living Word of God. And when you take a look at some of these additional versions or perversions, I've heard them called, they put God in a box in some of these scriptures. They take away the Word that God inspired the man to write. They express the ability to have that Word. Meaning things. So you can read the scripture one time and it mean one thing to you. You can read it again and mean entirely something different because it's living. It's God's Word. It's part of God. This is how God speaks to us. And He also gives it to us, you know, the awesome scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, fruitly furnished unto all good works." He's given us this word to help us.
Yeah.
Like what Matthew said, you know, your other versions are not going to point out your faults. They're not going to bring those things to your light. God does that because He loves us and He wants us to know that He loves us. And He's not going to set us on a standard that is unachievable, but He is going to give us some standards to live by. And I just think that that's a living Word that you can't get that in those other versions.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Scott,
no, I'm good. Yeah.
I said to flip it together. That's Philip and Hugh. I should have flipped over and read it like I started to. Just to clear that up, I didn't want to change God's
That's all right. That's good. That's all right.
Sorry that it was bitter coming out of here like it
did much, but. What, before you say that?
No.
Go ahead.
Okay, the pronoun you is a lot of times used in a lot of the translations that are not accurate. Or the perversions, how about that one? To translate thee, thou, he, you.
Right.
They use you.
Yeah.
You can be many. You can be one. Ye can be many. Or it can be, most of the time it's many. But if I am I, but if I am I. And then if you take thee and thou, that's singular.
Yeah.
That's one person. So it's a little misleading, if nothing else, in a lot of the other versions that they so call, they call Bibles, because it's not being specific enough.
Yeah.
But that's what they must be doing out of there. I don't know why that hit me all things, but it did.
That's good.
I'm not staying with a bunch of time, but there's some verses where if you know that, man, the verse means so much more. When Jesus was speaking to Peter, He said Satan has desired to have you, that he may sit you as a That's all of them. But when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So Satan didn't just want to have Peter. He wanted all of them.
Yeah.
But he told Peter, you have a job that I, me,
right.
thou.
Right.
Thou hast a job to do, I'm going to say. You know, man, that's a whole bunch more meaning
than
you know, you didn't realize was there.
Amen. Amen. All right, before I say something, I want y'all to play again. I want to challenge you. okay? I want to challenge you to be as accurate and as good as you can do with this, especially you kids. If you'll do the very best you can, if you can get this within 90% correct, then I will give you a treat. I will treat you all, everyone, to a special treat. If you can come within 90%. So I challenge you to do this to the very best of your ability. As we've been talking, Preacher Matthew has been memorizing a simple sentence. It's 27 words. It takes approximately 9 seconds to say. Okay? You got it memorized?
Yeah.
I'm going to let you look at it one more time. I ask everybody, please, be quiet. No distractions. He is going to whisper this to Christina. She's going to whisper it to Stephanie. All right? Because of the nature of seriousness, I don't want to disclude you littles. But because Sawyer, Cambry, y'all two, Dylan, I'm sorry, but y'all still get the treat. But just because, you know, some of your speech and your memory skills aren't up to par just quite yet, we want this to be, I mean, this is a serious game to play, okay? You don't even want to be part of this, trust me. Yes, y'all want to partake. But listen, make sure it's serious. He's going to whisper it to Christina, just like he's passing the microphone. And she's going to go to step. Well, just go down this whole thing first. You tell Tony, Tony's going to tell Brenda, Sherry, you tell Glenn. Or y'all, you can tell Sherry, and she can tell Brenda, and you can tell Tony, and she can tell Glenn. Glenn, you tell Matt, he'll tell Ashley, and she can tell Denise, and she can tell Scott. And Scott, you run over here and tell Scott.
Leave me out of there.
Listen, come over here. You come over here and tell Dalton, or you tell Melissa, and Melissa, you tell Jesse. You tell Dalton. You tell, I'm sorry, can you remember your name one more time? Frankie. I like that name. That's a good name. Frankie, you tell Amanda. Amanda, you tell Rose. Rose, you tell Sarah. So on and so forth. Y'all get it. And all the way back to Cooper. And Cooper, you get it. And they tell it to you.
Sorry.
All right, Cooper, you have a job, and your job is going to be, you are going to write down exactly what you hear. All right, now please, all right, get your giggles and all out. Let's be very serious, be very quiet for just a moment. I'm going to pass it, like I said. It takes 9 seconds. There's 34 people in here, both of you, minus the way the little ones, and there's less than 30. So that should be something like, I'm not good at math. It should take less than 5 minutes. Anyways, you got the paper?
Yeah.
All right. Look at it one more time.
Thank you.
because if y'all can get within 50%.
Here, did you drive off? Five words. Out of 27, I bet you got five right.
Old-fashioned language. I can read the Lord of the Rings and it doesn't move me.
maybe in some parts, you know, you get excited, it's interesting. I could read Shakespeare, I've not done much of that, but, you know, that certainly doesn't necessarily, what you might say, move me. What I mean by that is I mean conviction. Like the Bible says, it's powerful. It's a discerner of the heart. It's like a two-edged sword. It divides asunder the heart of man. It shows you and exploits your most vulnerable places in your mind and the recesses of your heart to show you that you're a sinner and that you're in need of God. And we see that God adds his blessing to that. Like I said, if it was just the fact that it sounded epic to talk that way, then why wouldn't we just talk that way? Why wouldn't TV announcers announce the news that way?
Yeah.
It's because it's not. It's not in the language itself, but it is in the translation because it was ordained of God. There were 40 men. When we sat down, we were less than 40. And in just a short sentence, you know, and y'all probably could have done better if I'd have given you know, more time, you know, if I'd have changed the parameters of the game a little bit. But, do what? I still hear what you said. About chicken, yeah. But nevertheless, you still would have more than likely got the text corrupted. Because only God can preserve his word. What we have here is something that God has preserved. Those other versions were translated from that Alexandria Bible, which was just simply because they said it's older. The actual transcription that they had was an older transcription than the transcriptions, but they were transcribed from older texts, right? Meaning that they were copied over and over and over again. But just because it's older doesn't necessarily mean it's better.
Right.
Because, well, we don't know that the source of it is older, right?
Right.
But we can see the evidence in the book itself and through reading it and through preaching that God has had his blessing to it. Amen? Yeah. All right. So I appreciate all of you taking part, even taking part in my silly little game. I'm going to read this to you one more time because it's funny. I want to laugh. This is what I give you. I went to a market of fish to buy steak, but because they were out, I went to a store afterward. I was satisfied with my purchase. You all said it. I went to the fish market and went to get steak, and I still wasn't satisfied. I'm just going to say this, okay? I'm not blaming anybody, but I know that Stephanie definitely took way longer than 9 seconds to tell Sherry. I don't know what that was about, but I mean, I was like, oh my Lord, what is this done turned into?
I was like, pregnancy brain, I left out like 3 words.
Stoney, what we can take away from this is that our wives are the breakdown.
I had Brother Matthew do it. He done a really great job. Did you know what I think so? And so I asked him to come up with a question. From time to time, I might ask some of you men to do this, because there might be something on your heart. And so be thinking about that.
Yeah.
Because I might be asking some of you to do this in the future. You know, hopefully I'll be able to be here. But there might be something on your heart that you'd like to exploit. And, you know, maybe you want to learn more about it yourself, or just a question that you've asked. And you could ask that question. But I asked him last week, and he's already got a question for us. So here's the question. How do we know abortion is wrong according to the Bible? So there it is. Foundation for August 25th. We're going to August next week. So you got plenty of time to study on that and prepare for that. And that'd be a wonderful thing. Amen. All right.
August the 25th at 4:30 will also be fire practice in you.
Fire practice in you. Amen. Keep you in mind about that, Tony. Tell him to get up here. Sing.
We still need more men voices.
He stayed on me, so hard. I come in. I said, we're recruiting for duty.
I still got one more recruit I'm working on.
All right, it's all hearts and minds clear. All right, we'll dismiss the word of prayer. Stay and hang out a little bit. There's snacks over there. Get you some snacks. That's your reward provided by Scott and Denise. So thank them for it. And I appreciate y'all bringing a reward so I can have a reward for a game. All right. Well, Jesse, would you dismiss some more
prayer? Thank you for all you do. Thank you for me and both of the Lord. Thank you for allowing us to come to your house to study your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that it penetrate our hearts, Lord, that we learn something from it and retain. Lord, I pray that you bless the snacks we're about to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.